murder which is sweeping the eastern third of the nation is being committed by creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
The world ended, didn't you get the memo?
They're dead, and you're gonna be next.
Wake up! Time to die.
It's a full moon. Beware the moon, and stick to the road. Oops.
I vote we get back to the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
You never grow old, Michael, and you'll never die. But you must feed.
My own brother, a goddamn shit-up ambassador. Will you wait till Mom finds out, buddy?
Detail, I guess I forgot to mention. You die, you lose.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
Yes, I have arrived. I had nothing. I'm sorry.
He's here, second time in a row.
Second time in a row. I know. It's actually like I work here or something.
You think?
Oh my goodness! Yes, okay. Back from B movie hell, apparently.
Yeah, it sounds like a great channel. I need to pick that up.
Yes, if you have a Roku, please
Roku. Okay.
Go to B movie channel, B movie TV. Is the name of it. I think it originates out of California. And you don't know what the movie... If you tune in like midway through the movie, there's no way to tell what you're watching unless you actually are a real B-movie enthusiast. But I like it because all the movies start on the even hour, so at 2 and then 1 at 4, and they're all like 90 minutes long. So, huh. But they were playing... And so they have some bad kung fu, but... They have a lot of, like, the bad horror films, like, oh, God. We were talking about it last week, or off the air last week.
Yeah.
Trick or Treat is actually on there.
Like, now, the original. That's the one with the rock star, right?
That's the one with the rock star, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Which is in my collection, because I love that movie.
It is. It's an awesome movie. And if you're like me and you love those god-awful B-movies, it is a place to be. Because, like, I literally, like, it's the last thing I watch before I go to sleep and the first thing I watch when I wake up.
You know, some of those movies aren't too bad. I mean, they're graded as grade B, but the effects, the makeup, it's sometimes not that bad.
Oh, no. Especially the one in the – now, the ones in the 80s, okay. But the ones from the 70s, because they do some of the 70s B movies as well, is absolutely – you know, some of them are absolutely great.
Yes, they are.
And you luck out, you get a movie like Night of a Thousand Cats.
I don't think I've seen that.
Which is an absolutely awesome. If you've never seen Night of a Thousand Cats, it's great. It's this dude who collects heads. Basically, think of the governor from The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And he collects heads and then takes the rest of the body, chops it up, and feeds it to the cats.
Interesting.
Yes.
Huh. That was good. Okay.
You can't make this crap up. I mean, seriously.
No. Well, those are original ideas. Hollywood can't make that crap up.
And you know what? That's what I love about B-movies is or most of the B-movies, they were so damn original. They were just way the hell out there, and the plot had a lot of holes, and you know, the plot could have been written a hell of a lot better, but at least they were original ideas.
You know, what I found also interesting is a lot of those movies, even though they were crap, they were trying to address social situations going on at the time.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? The Andromeda Strain. Oh, shoot. Well, yeah, the Andromeda Strain.
Yeah.
That was a fear of aliens.
Yeah, and a lot of... I think what happened and what really eventually... You know, B-movies still exist to a point, but what killed the really good B-movies... was Hollywood got a little infatuated with gangs. And we know there was a big gang problem in the 80s.
They always... That was the early urban movies, as we call them.
Yeah, and it was always... And I always found them weird, because it was always that one white guy that would move into the neighborhood. And it was either an all-Latino neighborhood or an all-black neighborhood. And amazingly, the white guy was like a black belt in karate. Never needed a gun. I watched one today, and I'm sitting there. The guy is on the motorbike, And for those of you who don't know, there is a difference between a motorbike and a motorcycle, okay? guys on the freaking motorbike, right? Driving right at the guy with the gun. Guy with the gun fires off 6 shots, and not one of them hits the dude? Yeah. Not one? I could do it by accident.
I know, huh?
I literally, I'm sitting there screaming at the TV, going, you have to purposely miss. I think that's the other thing I like about the B movie. Well, what I love, but seriously, what I love about the B movies is the damn music. Okay.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Because it was always like the training. Think of the training montage in Rocky and the training montage music in the Karate Kid, and just make it the entire soundtrack.
Or it's the other way to where it's. Sounds all love story and frilly, yeah. And you know, la, 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 where you can see butterflies in the air. I mean, yeah.
And somebody must have gotten a new Moog at the time and needed to break it in, because all you hear in the background, especially the sci-fi ones, is
Oh my god.
Oh, Warrior! Warrior was on that channel.
The Warriors or Warrior?
No, Warrior.
Okay.
It's a sci-fi movie if you haven't seen it. It's a bad version of Mad Max.
Oh. You mean there's a worse version of Mad Max?
Actually, if you sit down and watch it, you might think it's actually better than Mad Max. At least, you know.
Oh.
So...
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. No, because I like the one with Mel Gibson. I'm sorry. That's the one I like.
You sick, crazy Jews? I said, what are you doing, huh? There's your moment of racism right there. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Mel, oh my God. Not fan of the Jews, is he?
Oh, Mel Gibson. He just needs to stop, too. That's another one that needs to stop.
Yes, please. Mel Gibson, just sit on your money. All right, you're done.
Yeah, you've made enough money. You're comfortable. Just give it up, okay? Yeah. We're begging you, please give it up.
Put in the lefty. Put in the lefty and get over it. Yeah. But another thing that I think is great about B-movies is, like, you see these mid-90s stars, and even stars of the day in the 80s movies, they all made B-movies. Like, Arnold made a few B-movies. Rowdy Roddy Piper made... several B-movies, and as much as I love it, They Live is a B-movie, but as much as
I love it. That's in my collection, too. I love it.
Oh, absolutely. He made a ton of movies with Billy Blanks.
I know,
huh? I don't know if you knew that or not, but there was a time where it was like Billy Blanks and Rowdy Roddy Piper were like buddy cop movies. I mean...
I know.
Billy Blanks went out to Taiba. But see, that was the cool thing about it, because you know you can actually watch like Jean-Claude Van Damme before he became a big international superstar. Hell, he made his career off B-movies.
Because he funded and he wrote it and he partially directed a lot of them, but yeah, that's how
he did his own stunts. Yeah, and did his own stunts.
Did his own stunts.
Yeah, and even and you go back to the B Kung Fu movies. Bruce Lee.
Yeah,
Bruce Lee did a lot of B kung fu movies.
Yes,
I don't think people realize it. Like one of the more popular things I've seen on there, the clones of Bruce Lee.
Really, I didn't know there was a movie.
And if you really think about it, I mean, this is the 1970s. This is before CGI.
Yes,
think about how genius that is. Like, you literally have 5 Bruce Lees, and I think that really goes to show the talent of Bruce Lee, that he had 5 of him in one movie. So he had to basically play himself 5 times over.
Yeah, you would have to, because, they didn't have CGI or what's the other one? It's the digital imaging.
Yeah, I don't even think they even had they had green screen back then, obviously, because, you know, you see a lot of that shit. But you're right. They didn't have the digital imaging either. But I've always figured that, you know, we've never really done that. And I love, like I said, I love B movies. to death. I think they are horribly, horribly, horribly great.
Yes, they are. and they're really entertaining, too. You're, like, sitting here going, oh, my God, seriously?
And half the time
you're going, really won't work.
it's just like that scene in Twilight. Line.
Which?
The one where they're in the car, that awkward. Yes, I have seen certain parts of Twilight because I am a man and I have needs. And it's called a business transaction.
Yeah.
All right. But you're sitting there in that awkward, silent part where Edward and Bella are sitting in the car, and you're just sitting there screaming at the TV, line, line, just like they do in Riff Tracks. I mean, you know, if you go the best of Riff Tracks, they're actually saying that line, and I'm just sitting there going, dialogue? Is there any dialogue?
There probably was, but they forgot, and they just let the radio. Fill it.
There wasn't even that much radio in it. I mean, and I'm glad they kept all the uhs and uh-huh. I've been told. I never read the books. Yeah, I never read the books. So
oh, you haven't?
No.
I have. And in the books, Bella was a lot more whiny.
Oh, God.
You know, Edward, I want to be with you forever. I'm going to be aging. Oh, my God. I'm 19. I'm older than you, technically. Please kill me now. She was way more whiny.
Good Lord. What is wrong with us?
And then, you know, what was also great about that in the book, when after they got married and they're at the island and on their honeymoon, well, after they started having sex, she stopped bugging him to make her a vampire. And I'm paraphrasing this quote here because it was the best one in the books. He's like, and this is a paraphrase. Well, geez, if I knew this was a way to get you to shut up, I would have fucked you earlier.
And we wonder how 50 Shades of Grey came out of that.
Exactly. That was the one time Bella shut up about being made of vampires because she was getting it good by Edward.
Or maybe the sex was just that bad. I mean, you never know.
No, it was really good because he kept breaking her bones.
Oh.
Like, she'd wake up with contusions, and she had, like, a slight fracture. And she'd have claw marks.
We are truly sick, disturbed individuals. We're sitting here.
Yeah, I think this conversation has gone downhill.
That makes for awesome, you know, reading. Anyways.
Makes for awesome pod.
You know what, Gilbert Gottfried should read Twilight. Have you ever seen that the College Humor thing where he's reading 50 Shades of Grey?
Yes, I think he should read that. Especially, he should start at the sex part.
Yes,
he should totally do the sex part. Oh my god, that's.
She underlined the fuck scene. Read about, for
read it. Read it, Gilbert. Really good.
You're good, Gilbert. Oh my god.
Have we gone depraved enough?
Yeah, I think we have.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
You are now listening to ENZT Radio.
Are you lost in the dark with no light to guide you? Is there no one to help you escape this place? Are you caught in a trap fighting for survival? Well, don't worry, honey, because I'm on my way.
I'm coming for your life.
Lost in the dark. Are you lost in the dark? I know you're lost in the dark. 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 Are you lost in the dark? No light to guide you. No one to help you escape this place. Are you caught in a trap? Are you for survival? Well, don't worry, honey. Survival, well, don't worry, honey, because I'm on my way.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
All right, let's talk about the thing we're talking about here.
Let's talk about what we're really here for.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of which, just for sheer comedic effect, since we don't care anymore, you heard the new rumor, right? That, well, it's not a rumor anymore. It's been confirmed. We are having a reboot. This is why you should support independent horror kids. So we're having a reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. And now, but here's the interesting thing, and I hope they do this. This will actually keep me interested.
Okay.
In what goes on. Female Freddy.
Okay. Now, the only way they can do that is it has to be his daughter.
I could see that.
They can't just make a whole new female Freddy, you know, make it Frederica. No. They can't do that. They should keep with the timeline and go from Freddy to his daughter.
I could see that. You know, I got the perfect person in line.
Who?
And everybody's going to laugh, but I think it would be great. Lady Gaga.
You know, I can actually see her doing that.
I don't know if you've seen it or not. You know, they just finished, I think, the first half of American Horror Story Hotel. I think they've already, they're either about to wrap on the first half or they already have wrapped. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saying that she just really gets into the character, really embraces the character. Did you hear about the party she threw for the cast?
Yes. Oh, yes.
She dyed the pool blood red.
Yeah, had it at midnight. Right. Yes, that's right. That's what I heard. I'm like, I so wanted to be there.
Oh, my God. She is she's not like the typical pop star either. I've kind of noticed that. I know I'm gushing about, yes, okay, I listen to metal music, but, oh, God, I will gush about Lady Gaga because apparently she is a metalhead.
Of course. Of course she is.
There you go.
I can definitely see her as the female Freddy because as it was in the movie timeline, Katherine Kruger, she defeated Freddy because she wasn't evil.
Yes.
Now, I was reading online. I was doing a Freddy. I found there's a Freddy Wikipedia, and it talks about a story timeline that she ends up gathering a group of people to be fighting the Evil Dead or something like that, and she at one point gets turned evil and becomes the new Freddy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But who,
the only way this female Freddy can work is it has to be Katherine Kruger, Freddy's daughter. There's no other way.
Okay, since I've thrown out my pick, who would you like to see?
Oh my God. You know, I haven't even thought about that. Because Lisa Zane already did it, but she was the good one. You know. Wow. Who would be good besides Lady Gaga? That'll be interesting.
Yeah, we could definitely put our heads together on that.
I have to do a part two to this.
Yeah, I think that would be absolutely outstanding, though, is a female. I didn't want to embrace it at first. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to embrace it at first.
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, you're right. It wouldn't even really be a reboot. It would be a chapter, the next chapter of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, if they want to continue the timeline, which they've already established in these movies.
See, Hollywood, we've done your work for you, okay?
Yeah. We'll even get you the cast, okay? Yeah, we'll get you the cast.
Yeah. We'll give you names. And if you deviate from those names, we're coming after you.
Yeah. I think, this is the only way the horror fans can truly embrace a female Freddy is it has to be Katherine Kruger. That's just all it has to be.
Yes, that's right.
This is EMZT Radio.
I've been lost for a thousand miles. So excited to feel the pain I try to hide.
losing everything but my own way to go through my life. She dies in a purple velvet dress tonight. Open her eyes. I'd be lost for a thousand moons. Too scared I heard the voice from her too. Losing everything but my own way to go through a touch. She dies in a purple velvet dress tonight. Open her eyes.
Thank you. suicidal. So I'm suicidal. And the glass is empty. And the heart is filling with dystopian dreamers that are right for killing. And it's out of my head when the voices fall out, screaming in the air, sugar in your mouth, when the black walks out. And I fall from grace again and find a home to hold my sins. And I fall from grace again and find a home to hold my sins. Yeah, we're holding tight now with the string that hung us. There's a knife with friction and some ink with bullets. It's a perfect weapon to kill the masses. These thoughts eternal as the world collapses. We're all fucked and dangerous. It'll make us famous when we spread like fire and the monsters hate us. And I swear I'm like you.
Hi, this is Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
That brings us up to a good discussion topic. Women in horror. Total badass bitches in horror.
Mm-hmm.
total badasses. The list we found, they all agree that Jason's mom, Mrs. Voorhees, definitely belongs in the list.
She's been on every list I've seen.
Yes, I completely agree. I don't know. We have found different lists through our scouring of the internet. And I think I have figured out another Freddy. And this, we can attribute this to be your pick for a female Freddy. Sherry Moon Zombie.
Oh my god, yeah.
She would be, I think, if you had it between her and Gaga, that would be the two most perfect people in Hollywood to play Freddy.
You know, I totally agree. That definitely would be my pick.
Because if you really think about it, Sherry has the chops. Because yes, in my opinion, she played the biggest badass female in the history of horror movies. Baby. Good lord. And she was just...
Yeah.
And I was complaining earlier about, you know, why aren't women in horror movies? Why is it they always... You know, some altering life event has to happen. They were raped or they were beaten by their parents or something like that before, you know, they turn evil. But if you really think about it, Baby probably was the worst.
Well, think about her timeline history. I mean, her parents, both obviously psychotic.
Yeah.
I mean, and her brothers, wow, whack jobs.
Yeah, but so, she might be more of a whack job than her brothers.
Well, yeah, because she was coddled more by her mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Totally. And like, what was the best line in the movie that she did about,
oh, God,
there's no right, there's no wrong. If someone deserves to be killed, you just kill them. And that's the way. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to bring this one up because, and again, this one popped up pretty high on both our lists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's La Femme.
Which... I haven't seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen this. It's a French film, which is probably why we haven't seen it, because it's French and
yeah,
neither one of us really have high opinions of the French. But it's okay. We're not really well liked in France anyways.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
But, and another one that was on our list that I would call her underrated as far as a horror, a B.A.B. horror chick, Annie Wilkes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know Kathy Bates is so perfect for horror.
And she seemed, not really a tragedy happened to her, she just seemed to be twisted anyway.
She was a psychotic fan.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're... What I did was I sort of went back to the movie, and when she's going through her album, or what's his name was going through her album, and he'd stop at an article, I'd pause the movie and try to read those articles.
Yeah.
So she was as younger. I mean, when she was even talking about going to the movies as a kid, and her thought process on how movies should be done if they're like serials, or you know. It ends one way and it starts a different way, and it's just not right. The continuity isn't there. She just lost her mind on it.
I have,
and then
this is what some of my friends would look like as. Okay, I have a lot of friends, especially on Twitter, that could easily play Annie Wilkes in real life. Yeah? Maybe not the whole Angel of Death thing, but you know, they would definitely be Annie Wilkes. Because we have writers meetings every once in a while. Because a lot of us, you know, a lot of my friends on Twitter, we're all writers,
mm-hmm.
wannabe writers. I don't think any of us have published yet. We talk about this stuff and we scream about this. I mean, literally screaming, yelling, cajoling. This happens, and yes, yeah. A lot of my female friends especially on Twitter, could be Annie Wilkes easily.
Yeah, and she had. She also started, when she became a nurse, she started having the Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Is that what it is called?
Yeah. Munchausen.
It's like she doesn't have the Munchausen, but it's by association because she almost kills these kids, but then brings them back and she gets all these accolades and awards and blotted off for being like the best nurse ever.
And then, and then like she got caught, right?
Well, no, what she ended up doing was killing the kids. She started killing those kids. And then somehow they let her off because they proved that she wasn't right in the head. So then she became a farmer.
And now, one on a list I had found and then thought about, and I've actually seen this movie. It's not a bad movie. It's a great, you know me in Japanese horror.
Mm-hmm.
Asami from Audition.
See, it's on my list to watch. I just haven't watched it.
She is sick.
Because I sort of hate subtitles on films. Because it draws my eyes away from what's on the screen because I have to look at what's being said. So.
But the good news is sometimes you can watch it all on mute and you still know what's going on. So.
Okay. But yeah, this is on my list to see because I keep hearing everybody talk about... I mean, Japanese horror or Oriental horror in general, they are, wow, severely psychotic.
And the weird thing about Asian horror... is if you look at some of these countries, they have stricter censorship laws than we do in the States.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Now, granted, most of their censorship laws has to do with sex, so that's why you don't see, you know, random sex scene in an Asian horror movie as much as you would
They do partial rapes, where penetration is not made, but it's... in the process, and then it gets stopped. Well, that's as close as they can get to it.
Yeah, and there's certain countries over there that it's actually illegal to show genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't realize that, and if you've ever seen special interest gentlemen's stuff from Asia, especially Japan, you've seen the genitalia blurred out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're
or it's hidden, it's hidden by, the light not being on it. It's more in the dark.
Right. Yeah. See that. And that's the whole thing. And I kind of like that. But in a way though, it's not one of those, like, remember in the late '80s, early '90s in the US, they just went through this phase in Hollywood where we just had an explosion just for the hell of it. And there's really no reason or rhyme, and even some of the 80s and 90s B-movies, we just had a sex scene.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just like, okay, well, the director must have just wanted to see Shannon Tweed naked.
Yeah.
Hey, mid-90s yeah. Shannon Tweed, I'm not going to sit there and condemn anybody for that, okay?
No, I even agreed Shannon Tweed was hot for those. Oh, yeah.
I think she's still hot, but then that's a whole other issue. and no, as we're recording this, I know that the news broke about something went on at the Simmons household.
Uh-oh.
Where child services were called, but they're not involved in it by any means. I don't know if you heard it or not, but it supposedly there was some incident while Gene was on tour last year with Kiss on his, you know, 450th farewell tour. Somebody may or may not have done something with child pornography.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, from what we understand, though, none of the Simmonses are involved.
Well, that's good. That's good.
But anyways, I know we kind of got off topic there. But the reason why I like the lack of the random, for the hell of it, sex scene is because it if you ever watched an Asian horror film, Japanese or Korean horror films, the plot gets advanced so well. And then they make it in America. And it's like half of the damn plot. What was it? It wasn't The Grudge. Mirrors? It's like half the plot got taken out when they Americanized it.
Yeah, of course.
And why? Because we needed a couple more shots of Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah. Oh, and Amy Smart in a tub. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course we needed Amy Smart in a tub. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Kiefer. I mean, I'm a huge fan. We all know where it started from. I don't think we need to go into, you know, that our infatuation with Lost Boys. That's just a given for any horror fan. If you don't like Lost Boys, you're probably not a horror fan. It just felt like the plot got lost. And you can even look at it, you know, from what Ju-on to The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't The Ring Ju-on? Was that The Grudge?
No, that was The Grudge.
Yeah, yeah. Even The Grudge a little bit. Kind of lost the plot a little.
I think the ring was called Ringu.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Because it was more about the character of Samara.
Yeah. And see, that was the other thing I couldn't stand about the American version of The Ring.
Is they didn't have the storyline behind Samara. Like, where'd she come from? How'd she get these powers? How'd she become this way? To where the other movie, it gives a story on how she made this, it got to be this way.
And it's that doesn't make a movie more suspenseful. It makes it dumb. Okay, Hollywood? It dumbs down a movie when you don't tell us. Well, I mean, they tell us how she died. Because, you know, and the ring actually says how she dies. Because, you know, her stepfather had put her in a...
her mom.
Dad? Yeah, her in the well and then covers the well. Well, we know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. How did she become... Why the videotape?
Mm-hmm.
You know, explain that to us, too.
Because all the story on the American version was... All the dad was screaming was... She just kept making this stuff happen. I couldn't stand it. We couldn't take it. My wife killed herself because of it. She wasn't supposed to be alive. Yeah. And you're like, why? Why'd she do it?
What? You know. But anyway, that's the whole thing. That's always been my pet peeve about, you know, Americanizing Asian horror.
Okay. Anyway, let's do the bigger backstory of this whole evil women in horror movies. So women in general in movies are their mothers. They are supportive. They are nurturing. They are
the stereotypes.
Balance. They're the balance to the men's wild, wild stuff. They are the balance. So I think a lot of in movies, the women are not put in that like evil because nobody can really or nobody has really thought of what would it be like if a woman was the villain.
Yeah. I mean, like, now granted, you know, Baby being an exception and there are a few exceptions.
Yeah, there's a few more exceptions that these women are born into evil mode. Yeah.
It's
in their DNA. Yeah, so,
the closest we get to it are like they're witches, or they're countesses that really came from horrible families to begin with, or they're greedy. I'm trying to think that it's a lot of the 70s horror movies that had female leads. The women were all greedy. Countess Dracula. I think that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was greedy. She wanted not just the sergeant, or the you know who I'm talking about. She didn't want just the guy. She wanted his riches too.
Yeah.
And to protect, you know, her wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was more power hungry women back then that were, you know, that were more a little more real. They were power hungry. They wanted to be more in authority over the men. They wanted to have the wealth to back up whatever plans they wanted to do. But a lot of, in movies, women in horror are evil because something happens to them.
Yeah, they get raped.
Raped. They lose their children die in a horrible accident or something. They were abused as kids. What's another one? I mean, some sort of tragedy has to be done to flip their humanity switch in a way.
Right. And to me, it just seemed unfair, I guess. I don't know how you would describe it. I don't.
Well, it's off balance is what it is. That's a good word for it.
Off balance.
Yeah, off balance. But yeah, you're right. It's the men are always portrayed as these evil jerks.
Yeah.
Always thinking of ways to screw with somebody, ruin somebody's life, destroy people. Take things. The men are always portrayed that because they, you know, it's a man's world. Man has to be top dog. Man has to rule everything. And the women are automatically on the sidelines. They're supposed to be the supporters, the assistants, you know, the helper.
Exactly.
And they've never been given a role that's equal in men to where they are the dominant. They are the psycho who has these master plans to do all this type of destruction. And yeah, they're not, it's just the unfairness of women in general in movies.
Yeah.
So,
but
now,
you know, it even like overall in horror, it's like 90% of the horror movies are all bimbos. You ever notice that too?
Why? Yes, because these movies have to be geared more towards men to get them to go.
Well, I mean, I get
that.
So
you've got to have the brain dead bimbos with the big titties who are always the easy sluts. You got to have that so the men will have something to go look at.
I know, and I also know that horror movies are the biggest morality plays that we have these days. Because if you really look at it, and I know we're hearkening back to earlier episodes, very early episodes of EMZT in this, but if you look back at it, you know, there's still that, oh, well, they're just screwing just to be screwing, and all of a sudden they're dead. Mm-hmm. You know, and the bimbo with big boobs ends up dead anyways because, well, she's you know, the vixen because running around.
She's a slut. No, because she's a slut. Yeah, see, horror movies, this is interesting. Horror movies are the ones that they're bound by judgment rules. You know, no drinking, no drugs, no sex. You know, everything is, if you break these rules, you got to die in the movie. So where any other type of genre movie, they don't give a flip about that.
Exactly.
Like, you know, thrillers, action adventure, it's all about survival. Even women can survive if they're, you know, if they're smart, if they are observant, if they have the weaponry and the skills.
If they know the right people to sleep with.
Yeah, if you know the right people to sleep with. So where horror movies, it's interesting because you can't be you can be a survivalist, but you are bound by strict rules on how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot sleep your way out of a situation. That's number one on how you get killed. Drugs. Granted, drugs will take the edge off everything.
But you always
do it in the whole.
I was about to say, Captain Doobie always ends up way too high to be functioning anywhere, you know, at the wrong time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just,
drinking, even if it's beer, you still are on the list to be, because it's alcohol, it's debilitating, it's fuzzes up your brain a little bit.
And once again, you end up stumbling out of the bar at the wrong time.
Well, just in time for Christine the killer car to run you over.
Yeah, exactly. Death race, but death race.
It's just interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting how horror movies, they are a morality judgment thing than any other genre. And that's why I think I like it too, because you know who's going to die by on who's doing what in the movie.
Yeah, and in a way though, you're satisfied, you know? It's like you watch a horror movie and you're like, please kill this guy, please. With a few exceptions of the whiny female leads that end up being good guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're always sitting there going, oh, please, just, you know, this guy is a total dick nugget. Let's just, can we? And then 5 minutes later, thank you, sweet.
And it's starting also, what's happening now in the horror movies is who's surviving at the end. It's a woman.
Yeah.
A woman is surviving. Because there's one woman who is smart on everything.
That's true.
So
it's always the bookworm.
Well, this is interesting part. Okay, the movie It Follows. Now this is the ending. I'm sorry. I'm gonna blow the spoiler. So it's spoiler alert. The ending. This girl has had sex with like four different guys. Because this is how this curse or whatever is passed along through casual sex.
It's an STD curse.
Yeah, it's a supernatural STD. That's what I thought of it.
STC. There we go. Yeah. You just come up with a new term, STC, sexually transmitted curse.
Yeah. Now, she survives at the end, but it's like on an ominous note because she has to keep a lookout for the rest of her life on who's following her, on if it's following her to kill her.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, that the morality play there was at the whole ending of the movie was it's a supernaturally transmitted curse. So she doesn't die. But anyway.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
That's great.
But have you noticed lately in horror movies, a woman survives the end?
I have noticed that. I'm kind of glad for that, too. I guess you could call me a feminist, but, you know, I'm glad to see that.
But what's interesting is, so it's sort of like they're giving a sort of balance to women in horror movies going, okay, you may not be, like, the lead, but we'll have someone survive to spread it. Well, because number one, they have to spread the tale of what happened. They have to like write it down somewhere or pass it on how to survive that situation or something. And a woman is a good storyteller.
That's true. And plus
they're also, they have better judgment skills than men sometimes. So, I mean,
there's no argument coming from this side of the room. Sorry.
So in the way, having a woman survive a horror film is pretty good. Because maybe the men will start listening.
I just thought about this on our evil women list. I don't think we brought this woman up. You remember the movie, and I can't remember the name of it. It was a big blockbuster movie. It's like The House or something. The guy comes home and it's all these puppets. Like this whole family has a curse of puppets. They all end up turning into puppets.
Hmm.
And then at the end, you find out that his stepmom... His dad is a puppet, and his stepmom is the puppet master.
Oh, you're talking about Dead Silence.
Dead Silence, yes. And then and the boy turns into a puppet at the end of the movie too.
Because she was Mary Shaw.
Yes, she was Mary Shaw.
She was Mary Shaw. Yes. She was in like a puppet like body, because she created that woman. But yeah, Dead Silence. Now there's that too. But see, Mary Shaw, there's that. She's not on the list, but she's an evil woman in the horror movie. But only because a tragedy happened to her.
Exactly.
She was what was it? She was killed because kids started disappearing because she was killing kids who were naughty.
Yeah.
So they ended up killing her.
Well, and then that goes back to the witch.
Yeah, I mean, she looked like a witch.
Because she was one.
She was a female ventriloquist of the time and a really good one, but she did look like a witch. And a lot of this is where I also like stopped, paused the film to when he was going through her book on how to make dolls.
Uh-huh.
And it was interesting on the construction of the doll. It had to be a certain type of wood. It had to be done a certain type of way. And these dolls ended up harboring the souls of everybody she killed.
Yes.
So that's how they were walking around. Not only was she putting her power into it, but it's also part of the soul of the person she killed.
Yes, I do remember
that. But she's an evil woman, but she created a curse on the people who killed her.
See, there you go. I just thought, you know, bring that up. But
yeah, Dead Silence, that's a good one. That's a good one.
When I was going up the stairs, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
Pain but not some monster outside my room. Can I have a glass of water?
Back to this list. Now, Felice from The Kiss. What do you remember what happened to her?
Oh, God, no. I don't
she was demon-possessed, and she was only given a certain amount of time to be successful and to be rich, and she was supposed to pass on the demon to someone else. That's why it was called The Kiss, is because the demon is passed on through the kiss. It's an actual creature that comes out of her body.
Oh, that's right.
So that was interesting. It was not necessarily a tragedy, but demon possession, where it was an actual critter.
Mm-hmm. How about
I thought that was interesting.
Peyton from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Now, I don't think does that really count as a horror movie?
I would think so. Well, it's more a thriller.
It is more of a thriller than a horror movie.
Because it's like, ooh, what's going on? You know? Yeah. And nothing supernatural happens, but yeah, I'd call it a thriller horror because of what she does in the movie.
There was a pretty good body count in that movie.
Oh, she had a great body count.
She had an absolute body count. And that's another one. But she's one that was cause and effect.
She was another one that was cause and effect. Yeah, but she was after a specific person who she thought caused her tragedy.
Yeah, poor Ernie Hudson.
He was really good though as that handicapped guy.
Yeah, he was. And yeah, Julianne Moore was Peyton, in that movie too.
Yes, she was. Wow. Her death was awesome.
Anyways, sorry, I have this thing for Julianne Moore.
I don't blame you. She's hot. She's like 60.
I know, and I wonder if she's in the Vic Lebowski too. But that's an off air topic. I haven't seen the second Big Lebowski yet. Sorry.
Okay.
I love the. She was naked in the first one. Okay, but
it's on Netflix.
Yeah, she was naked in the first one for like 15 seconds. But anyways, I know we're running out of time. I did want to throw this out to everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm still debating on the Periscope party for Sunday night. You know, Sunday is, and we need. I guess we need to talk about this just for a minute or okay. two. Give it an acknowledgement. You know what? This Sunday starts Fear the Walking Dead.
Fear the Walking Dead, and I have to miss it.
I know, but anyways, I'll spoil it for you.
Okay.
Well, just you know what? Just follow EMZT on Twitter. You'll know exactly what's going on.
All right, then. I shall.
Yeah. We will be live tweeting Fear the Walking Dead as per usual, because we do that with The Walking Dead as well. I'm actually excited about this because this is going to hopefully answer a lot of questions. And I don't know about you, but even with the comics, I wanted to see how everybody west of the Mississippi handled the zombie apocalypse, because you know we know what goes on the East Coast. You know, because Rick mm-hmm. doesn't just stay in Atlanta and stay in Georgia. He goes up to D.C. I want to mm-hmm. know, you know, how fast did it take over a city like New York or a city like L.A.?
Really? Because yeah, it's bigger population. It's a little bit more spread out.
And see, I heard, though, that they kind of were hinting at the cause of the zombie apocalypse is a combination of Ebola and bath salt.
Really?
Yeah. But I can't see that many people taking bath salts.
No.
Like, I'm guessing by that point there had to have been a virus that was created.
Mm-hmm. So. What's also interesting is Z Nation. I know you lost interest after an episode, but their conclusion on how the plague happened was there was a psycho foreign doctor who was collecting different diseases from people. Like one was Ebola. One was, I don't think it was AIDS, but it was something like AIDS.
Uh-huh.
It was a combination of all these deadly viruses mixed into one.
I see something like that actually happening.
I think so.
Like, I think that would be the more cogent reason that if we have a zombie apocalypse, that's the reason. Because we have so many weaponized viruses and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it just gets out of control.
Yeah, because what he did, yeah, what that doctor did, he made this virus and they were testing it, but it did get away. So, you know.
Thought we'd spend a minute or two on that and just to say that, hey, you know, the live tweeting is back and all that other good fun stuff. Yeah.
Sounds like fun times. I keep missing it because I have to work. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the glamorous life of pizza delivery, right?
Yeah, but you know, when I do get home, I do check the Twitter to see what you've posted. So I do get a bit of it.
there is a lot of swearing. That time, but,
yeah. Well, yes, yes, there is.
See that. But the problem is though, and the honeys get it too. The horror honeys get it too. Our good friends, you know, you West Coast people need to chill out. Okay, you West Coast people need to chill out and get off Twitter for a little while. Because we in the East Coast are on the superior, you know, time. So we get to see it first because, you know, East Coast is the best coast.
Oh, he would say it.
That's right. That's to celebrate us being on in Davis, California. East Coast is the best coast. Says the person who's never been west of El Paso, Texas.
Have you never been west of Mississippi?
No, I've been, like, Uvalde is, I think, the furthest. Yeah, Uvalde, Texas. And if you've never been to Uvalde, Texas, which I'm pretty sure none of our audience has, it is, like, you know where Eagle Pass, Texas is, right? I'm pretty sure a lot of people know where Eagle Pass. Yeah, Uvalde's like 2 minutes outside of Eagle Pass. And literally, you make a wrong turn, you commit a felony.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you think San Diego is bad when you get into certain parking lots, you don't realize you're in Mexico? No. Uvalde, if you sneeze in the wrong direction and stumble, you are in Mexico.
Jeez.
So I may or may not have accidentally illegally crossed the border once or twice.
Right.
No, I'm serious. Accidentally, because supposedly the town south of Eagle Pass is supposedly one of the most violent cities in the world. So, so there would be no pleasure trips, if you know what I mean. It's because it's supposed to be like that town is supposed to be the biggest hangout of the Mexican drug cartels or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saying. That's why I like where I live. I don't have to worry about illegal anything. But no, the furthest west I think I've ever been is El Paso, Texas.
All right.
There you go.
And I even made it to, is it St. George, New York? Woohoo!
St. George. New York!
And then I also went to visit my sister in Central Florida. So,
there you go.
I made it south. I made it to the south.
You have been on the best coast, so. says the kid who used to spend a lot of his summers up in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
My 17th birthday. Literally, my 17th birthday. Quebec.
Oh.
And you know why we went to Quebec for my 17th birthday?
Why?
Because the drinking age in Quebec is 17.
Nice.
And then the next year was Toronto. The next year was Toronto because the drinking age in the rest of Canada is 18.
Oh my God! Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was it. And this was the time before 9/11. You could actually the only thing you needed to cross the Canadian border was your driver's license.
Back then.
Yeah, 1999.
You know, that sounds like the start of a great horror movie. On my way across the border into Canada to go get my first drink of alcohol. There you go.
Montreal strippers / serial killers. Montreal's got some great strippers, by the way, for those of you who don't know. I'm not
Thank
saying
you.
I'm
Do they saying. Have a red light district too?
They might. I wouldn't know. I was enough. By the time we had left this gentleman's club, I was kind of a little toasty. Because, you know, that was the other cool thing about Canada is the beer in Canada is a little bit stronger than it is in the States.
It is.
Which is why I don't drink domestic beer. But unless Budweiser wants to pay me or somebody. Miller Lite can pay me. Pabst Blue Ribbon can pay me. I'll drink your beer.
There you go. There's a dream job to have. A beer taster.
Actually, have you ever been on those Budweiser tours?
No.
Oh, they're great. You get beer at the end of the tour.
Well, I imagine you get beer all along the tour, too.
Well, I mean, but it's really cool because you get to see where the Clydesdale stables are.
Now, that I'd be interested in.
Yeah, they literally, if you go to St. Louis and take the... You have to go to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go anywhere else. You have to go to the St. Louis, main St. Louis distributor. That's where the Clydesdales are.
Okay, cool.
And they are treated like freaking kings.
Well, of course.
They're treated so much better than us.
Or so like the Lipizzaners. Yeah. The Lipizzaners are treated like gods.
They might be treated better. I mean, if I was a horse, this is what I would want.
Absolutely.
Anyways.
Now that we're way off topic.
Yeah. There you go. I guess we need to end this, don't we?
And that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. Do check out our main page at emztradio.podbean.com. And do check out all the links that are on the page for all the bands that we play and for our horror friends. We also can be found at emztradio.wordpress.com. That's our new little blog that MJ and I are playing with to give you more info about what we do and what our interests are. We do have Facebook, EMZT Podcast Radio on Facebook. We can be found at Twitter, at EMZT Radio. And for a more direct approach, we have emztradio@gmail.com. And do stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
And let me give you some advice. When you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead.
Red Rum! Red Rum! Red Rum!
See you back home. I'm a murderer. I'm a freak. But here... Among the monsters, I'm normal. I like it here. I want to stay.
Oh, great, Valiant. Not only will we be able to get to sleep, but if we're attacked in the middle of the night, we won't even care.